I want to just show you a few things. I think what I like personally to preach things that I struggle with. And I believe that the Lord has laid just about every message that I've ever preached is stuff that I have struggled. I don't know if that's the way. I just feel that's what the Lord has given me. But I want to share something with you this afternoon that I often find trouble with myself. And if you're taking notes, I call it We Have Forgotten Who We Are. And I want to show you a few points. I just have a quick 5 points on the Lord, and then I have 5 points that shows you what happens when we do His will. But if you would, I want you to look in verse number 6. The word of the Lord says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Last week, I can't remember what my dad, I think he was just going into prayer, and he was talking about how the Lord, he took on the robe of flesh. And I was sitting there thinking, because my dad, he actually asked me to preach, I think it was 2 weeks ago, but I had no idea what the Lord was going to lay upon my heart. But as I was sitting there, God showed me exactly what he wanted me to preach. And what I want to show is how the Lord, he took on the form of a flesh. And not only did he take on the form of a flesh, but he just took on I wouldn't even say your average person. And one of the things that I struggle with is pride. And I like to think highly of myself, I'll be honest. I mean, it's a fact, and it's not a good thing, but it is the truth. And a lot of times I do try my best not to be prideful, but I get into the flesh sometimes, and I am. It just is what it is. But as I was sitting there thinking, and he said he took on, when, and I was thinking more in depth on how he took on the form of flesh, and like he came, because he could have came down to earth, and like if you think about it, it's a possibility that a lot more people would have just believed on if he was this projected as this great savior. But he was projected as that, but that's not how he came down to earth. He came down to earth as just, as the Bible says, he came down as a servant. And let's all be real, who really likes to serve here? Like, we all do it at times, don't get me wrong, and I believe many times we are willing servants, but if you were to ask somebody, hey, like, you know, what do you want to do with your life? You'd be like, oh, I just want to be a servant. That's usually not our first answer. That's definitely not going to be my first answer, I'll tell you that. But the Lord, he came down, and he said, I don't want to be as the high and royal person that I am in heaven. I want to come down as a servant. And to me, like, that's incredible, because like I said, no one wants to be a servant. Like, everyone wants to be served, but he said no. He said, I want to come down and I want to be the servant. And I don't know, like, I wish I was back in that time. So I would like to, you know, I like to ask people questions about certain things, like things go through my head. And like, I want to be like, just, I'd like to ask the Lord, like, when he came down as a servant, like, did he really, like, I know he had a plan, and his whole plan was to come and die upon the cross for our sins, but did he really know that everything that he went through is exactly how? Like, I'm just curious to know if that, like, if the Lord showed him everything, this is what you're going to go through, or is just one of the, like, it just happened as he went on through his time down on earth. But that's my first point. I want to show you that he came down as a servant. And I think oftentimes we forget that as Christians, we are servants, because we are servants of Christ. And I like to lose or that factor. I don't like to serve. I kind of want to do my own thing rather than submit and do what the Lord wants. Like, I wrestle with my flesh every day. And I believe all of us do, and it's not an easy thing to do, but it is possible, because through God, all things are possible. But being a servant is one of the things that we are. That is who we are. We are a servant. But at number two, I want you to go into the bottom of verse number 7, and we'll go through That, and the Bible says, but he made of himself no reputation and took upon the form of a servant and the like, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now you got to think, so first he started off as a servant and he had no reputation. But if you think about it, he really did have a reputation. It wasn't from the start, but he got one as things progressed on his road to the cross. And the Bible says we're supposed to daily bear the cross. And so for start, we're supposed to be a servant, number one. And number two, we're not supposed to have a reputation because we're not supposed to be prideful. So we're supposed to be humble and be obedient unto the Father. So, and also, we're supposed to carry the cross. And the cross can get heavy at times. And it's a lot of times it's not an easy cross to bear. But thankfully, I mean, we have the greatest example of the Father. He carried the cross all the way there. And he showed us that it is possible. And the Bible also says he'll never put on you more than you can bear. So whatever you feel that your burden, your cross, because we all have different crosses. I have a cross that I have to bear, and you have a cross that I don't have to bear. I may not understand your cross. I mean, like, I can be like, Lord, like, his cross looks a lot easier than mine. I'd rather have his cross. But he can look at mine and say the exact same thing. But see, the thing is, one of my basketball coaches, he texted me this morning and he said, Happy New Year's and all that. And I said, Happy New Year's. I pray the Lord would continue to bless and guide you. And I said, God has a plan. I said, God has a plan for us all. It's up to us to accept the call. And that's one of the things I struggle with in my life. I go back and forth. I feel like I have a call. And then other times I feel like I don't have a call. But it's one of the things I struggle with. But all of us, we do have a call. And it really is up to us to accept the call. Because the thing is, you know, I can try and bear his cross. I can try and go do whatever he's struggling with, and he can try and do my cross, but it's not going to work out. And I can tell you this, it's going to be a lot harder for me to try and bear his cross, because that's not the cross that I'm supposed to bear. And whether to me it looks like it's easier, God hasn't given me the gifts or the ability to bear his cross, because he is perfectly designed his plan for each and everyone's life. It's personally for us. And you have to think, God took the time out of that. I mean, out of the millions of people in the world that he took off, he took the time to have a plan for absolutely every single one of us, and which is just incredible. And because each and every one of our plans aren't just simple, a lot of them are very complex. And I know some, especially like from my dad, some of the different stuff. It, like, you know, it's not just easy. You know, I'm gonna come, I'm gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna preach on Sunday morning. You know, if you have a Wednesday night or midweek service, you know, I'll go on a few calls and whatnot. It's not that simple. You know, there's a lot more to it than just coming into Sunday morning service and preaching. And I guess scary to me sometimes, because I'm like, I don't really know if I want to do all of that. But he made it very detailed for each and every one of us, and our crosses are different to bear. But like I said, the Lord, he gave us all the tools that are necessary for us to get there. And I want you to, so let's go back in. I got a little carried away. And number three, I want to say he was still exalted. And so he started out as a servant. He had no reputation. But yet in verse number 9, the word of God reads, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every, of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we went from being a servant. We had no reputation. He went from being a servant. He had no reputation. But yet, the power of his name will bring everyone to their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I want to show you why this happened. If you would go to Matthew chapter number 23 with me. Matthew number 23. We'll read in verse number 12. And the word of God reads, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I think that pretty much is self-explanatory right there. But I want you to picture in your mind. But he came down and he took on the flesh of man. But you have to think. So let's go give kind of like a worldly example real quick. So anyone quick off the top of your head, who would you say someone, I wouldn't say you necessarily look up to them. Maybe they're like good looking or whatnot. Does anybody have someone that they would say like a name of any sort? You turn the mic off, you know. Pop's not listening. Anything. It doesn't matter. It's just a name. Any, like, a celebrity or anything like that. Nobody at all. All right, let's just say, for instance, let's say Michael Jordan. I'll put him out there. So Michael Jordan, just about everyone knows, whether you play basketball or not, you pretty much know who Michael Jordan is. So he has a reputation, and if you were, which he didn't start out, but everyone, just about everyone knows who he is. But see, the Lord, and he could have came down as that person. He didn't necessarily have to come down and everyone to know all his powers and all his mighty works that he can do, but he could have came down just enough to where with the of everyone knows who he is. But you have to think that even now to this day, you can go in places in the world and people do not know the name of Jesus Christ. There are some remote places that they really don't know. Now, granted, they probably don't know who Michael Jordan is for that, so it's not like a perfect example. But my point is, not everyone knows that name to this day. And so you have to think, back in that time, yes, I wouldn't say there's as many people as there are now, but in a smaller town, he came and no one really knew who it was. Like, I mean, there was the prophets, a few of them that they knew about it, and they knew that he was the Savior. But other than that, he still came down as a nobody. And to think, like, you had to humble himself, and I would say he wasn't a good-looking man. I would have to say that because you're going to get noticed based upon that. So I would say he wasn't a man that you just say, oh, wow, like, you know, and all of that. So he humbled himself. I literally, the way I can see, like, in my head, like my father, I'm a visual person. I'm thinking kind of like a homeless person, not someone that you would really look upon and be like, okay, yeah, that's somebody. Because you have to think that it would have to be pretty low for you not to recognize or think that he's a somebody. But to me, in my pride, I don't want to humble myself down to that. Like, you know what I mean? Because that's when I see that, it's not something that I want to do. I don't. I mean, my beard's a little scraggly right now, but I mean that's not something I want to be or be known for. I like to dress nice. I like to be well put together. But he didn't come down like that. He was very humble, and he literally wanted no reputation whatsoever. And the Bible, it's true. It says, like it says, he that humbles himself, he shall be exalted. And to think that he went from absolutely nothing. Nothing. He was just a servant. He was a nobody. But his name is so powerful that if you hear it, that it just brings me chills. And when you hear someone, when they're praying in the name of Jesus, and Jesus, 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 there's a power to that name. There's like an overwhelming, it's like, okay, when you're praying and you hear people, they start naming the name of Jesus, you're like, okay, something's about to happen. Because there's that power in that name that you, something like, I can't even understand it, but it's like, I know that there's power in that name, and it's that faith and believing that there is something in the name, but that his name was so powerful because that's basically all he had. It was just his name. But his name was so powerful that every knee should bow. And if you bow, that's a form of humility. Because you're not up in a high place. I'm not a short person. So if I were standing up to someone that was shorter than me, it's humbling to come down here. Because it's a lot easier for me to tower over somebody. I feel a little more empowered, right? It's just a fact of life. But his name is so powerful that every knee is going to bow. And to think of the awesomeness and the stuff that we struggle with sometimes, and stuff that I struggle with, and to think his name is so powerful that he came down as nobody. All he had was his name. And his name so powerful that every knee is going to bow. And yet I still want to live for myself, and things that I struggle with that shouldn't even be a problem are a problem. And to think, but he came down and he humbled himself. All he had was his name. And Christ, he is the greatest example of absolutely everything there. And he even said in his word, I can't think of where it's at right now, but he was tempted just like we were. There is no temptations that we have went through that God has not went through himself. And he is blameless, spotless, without sin. And he was just a servant. But yet, I don't want to be a servant, and we all don't want to be a servant. It's hard to see the future. You can want to say, okay, yeah, this is how it's going to happen. Like, I know in the future, like, I know the Lord, he'll bless me. He blesses us when we do his will. But taking that knee and being a servant, it's like, but really? I got to serve? I got to give my way up? Well, it's just a lot better when I'm being catered to. It's a lot. Life's a lot more easier. Because you got to think, when you're a servant and you have a master over you, he has the right to do just about anything to you. He doesn't have to respect you. He can be disrespectful. He can abuse you. He doesn't have to take care of you because you're his servant. The life of a servant is not a desirable life. But see, the thing is, what we oftentimes forget is, yes, we are servants. But see, not every master is a bad master. Not every master is going to abuse you, hurt you, treat you wrong. See, we have the Lord as our master. He's our master. And there was a message in that I heard, and he said, God is good, and he's never going to do anything to hurt you. And God is good. And so we got to think, if he's our master and we're his servant, he's still going to bless us. By us being a servant unto him, he blesses our life. As a son, when I do right, I don't get in trouble from my parents. And if I'm doing right, there's no reason for me to even worry about being in trouble. Because if I know in myself that I'm doing right, and I don't have to worry about anything happening to me because I know that I'm in the right and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You can't be getting in trouble for doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, you may be criticized for it. There's certain things that you'll do, especially being a Christian. You're going to be criticized for it. Certain stands that you take, that you will be criticized for it. That's just the fact of it. But our master knows that. He went through the he was criticized, and we're all blessed to hear today. We're not here. I don't have a fear of being beaten for preaching the name of the Lord right now. We're in a free country, and I can preach boldly. And sometimes, you know, I wonder in myself if I'm strong enough, if I were put in that situation, because I'm just being real, that I don't know if I could handle that situation. Sometimes, there are sometimes that I feel like I'm on fire, and I'm going to do it. But I'm not in that situation right now, and I don't want to be lying. Yeah, I want to say that I would boldly proclaim the name of the Lord. But I should say something, and I just sit down. I sit down, I don't say anything. And it's to my shame, but it's true. I'm being real. That's something that, because a lot of times I like being liked, and I'd rather not say anything than being shunned or pushed out. And it's a problem that I have. But see, when I remember that I have a good master, and he knows that I'm going to be through that, and I know that he's going to help me through that, it's a lot easier to do those things when you know you should say something and you actually say it. But we need to remember, we are a servant, but we do have a good master. And that'll take me to my next point. What I want to say to the last two points, I want to show a lot of times. So we went through the Lord and how he was a servant. He had no reputation, but he was still exalted. And if you read in verse number 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." I think many times that I struggle with personally, I start to fall into the trap of, yes, I want to do the Lord's will, but I want to do it my way because I want to take some credit for it. And we all know that that's not what we're supposed to do, but it's a fact of life. It happens at times. And I don't think that I'm the only one that has ever happened to, because the devil is crafty, and he likes to get in there and creep in those crevices that he knows that we struggle with. And that is one of my big struggles. I like to take credit for things. And I've learned some through some humility throughout the years, but I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. I still do like to take credit for things that I've done. And the funny thing is, it's like, you know, when, say someone you've done, a work with a partner, but the person, say you did a work for somebody, but the person you did the work for doesn't know that you had a partner with you. It's very easy to just take all the credit, because especially if that person that you worked with isn't there, you can easily take the credit. But see, you can take the credit, but deep down you'll know that I didn't do this all. And that's kind of how it is. When I want to take the credit for what the Lord has done in my life, or other things that I've done, I want to start to take credit. But then I get to thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, that really wasn't me. Because as I said in my testimony before, that he's blessed me far more than I deserve. And I know myself. I don't know you guys all. Like, no one knows yourself like you do. And I know myself, and I am absolutely nothing. And it was about a month ago, me and Brother David, we went and anointed a brother. And my dad, he messaged me, and he asked me if I was willing to do it. And I was like, I'm not qualified for that. I don't think that that's for me. But he's like, that's not what I asked you. He said, I asked if you were willing. And I said, well, I'm willing to do it, But I said, but in the back of my head, I said, I don't want to do it. But I said, I am willing to do it. And he gave me a passage to read. And I tell you, the whole ride up there, I'm just like, oh, I'm a little over my head out here. Like, I have no idea. But like, the closer that we got, I'm like, I'm absolutely nothing. And I know that no matter what I do, I have no power. Whatever I say has no power if I do it in myself. And we were sitting there. I think he read the scripture first and he started praying. And like as we got closer, I knew that was the Lord's will. I didn't know why because I was like blown away. I'm like, yeah, I'm not qualified for this at all. But I knew that that's what the Lord wanted. And like I said, when you do his will, or when you're in his will, he does follow through and he does bless you. And Brother David started praying. And I just the presence of the Lord, the way it filled that room, I was like, wow. I'm like, I've never felt anything like this in my life. But knowing that the presence of the Lord was so close and that I knew without a shadow of doubt that we were there for a reason, and the Lord knew that that day was coming. He knew that my dad was going to be out of town. And I cannot take absolutely zero credit for that. And I know it because I know if I would have come in myself, he could pray, he could be in the will of God. But if I came for myself and tried to do it on my own, absolutely nothing was going to happen. But see, I went in because I believed. This is how I went in. I went in. I said, I don't know if he's going to be healed. But I said, I know I'm supposed to be here. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to do the work. Because I said, and whether you heal him or not, because I was scared out of my mind. Because, like, you know, it was one of those things that's like, okay, I didn't feel like I was qualified. So I'm like, well, what, like, if I pray, like, what if it doesn't work? So did I do something wrong? Because if it didn't work, like all these things just start flashing through my head, and I'm like it's just blowing me away. I'm like, what happens if he doesn't get healed? And I had to the Lord had to take me to the end of myself because I had to say, there's absolutely nothing that I can do because I said my prayer is not going to do it. It's not a prayer that I say that's going to heal him. And to be honest, I didn't even want to know if he got healed. I really didn't, because I was sold in my heart that I knew I was supposed to be there. And whether or not he was healed, I didn't care, because I knew that the Lord wanted me there. And whatever he did, I knew it was going to be right. And God had put that situation in my life so that I could feel his presence was so real, and that I know that he was with me. And that's why I was there. I wasn't there so the brother could be healed. And like I tell you, it was one of the life changing experience for me. But when you have that anointing presence of the Lord with you, I tell you, it's a whole nother story. It's like an out of mind experience, because you know that you're not there, and it's just completely the Lord. And it's that power in the name of Jesus. It's so special that he said, I know I'm greater than you are, but that's okay. He said, I'm going to humble myself. And you know what the thing is? I struggle with it so much, because I think sometimes, I mean, I think you have to think you're better than the Lord sometimes. And I think that's, I mean, it sounds so wrong, but you have to. I think that's kind of how it is, because you think your way is better than his way. And I think he kind of gives you that option sometimes, because he came down so humbled. And I could be wrong. And if so, like, my dad can correct me, and I'll be wrong for it. But he gives us the option to freely do what we want to do. And because I think if he came down, we would just know he's not. But see, when you're in his will, you don't doubt that, because you know he's in control. But when you're in your own way is when you have the problems. That's the only time you ever doubt. Because I did not have a doubt at all while we were there, because I knew I was in his will and we were meant to be there. But he came down as just a humble servant. And see that for God to be able to do that work, and I'm not saying this to brag or boast, because I'm still blown away over that whole situation. But I'm only using myself as an example to show that how powerful the Lord is because I had to be willing to do that. I didn't want to do that, but I had to be willing. And to be willing, you have to be a servant. Because you have to be willing to do stuff that you don't want to do. Because that's serving. That's being a servant. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And the Lord came down as humble as possible. But yet he was exalted so much more than... If you were to see him, I don't think you'd be like, wow, that's going to be somebody. And you know what the craziest thing out of all this is? Is that he's exalted so high, above absolutely everyone. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But he's still humble. He's not taking any credit for it. He just said, I came to do the will of my Father. And that's what I want to point out. I'm not even going to go through the rest of my message. But we're supposed to be humble, and we're servants. And we're just here to do the will of our Father. No matter how many times I get distracted and want to do my own thing, when I come back to where I'm supposed to be humble, be a servant, God can work. And if you're struggling today, in any areas in your life, I just ask you, are you being a servant? Because all the times when I go along and I'm having problems, I've forgotten who I am. I'm not serving Harper. I'm a servant of the Lord. See, when I get lost, that's who I am. I'm Samuel Harper. That's when I get lost. But when I realize who I really am, I'm just a servant. And I'm here to serve the Lord. And the grace of God, no matter how many times I fail Him, He's still there. Let me pick you up. Because I fell to my knees and He said, let me pick you up. Because that's where you have to fall to be a servant. You have to get on your knees. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this afternoon, Lord, I thank you. I pray that you use this message somehow, Lord. You use it to work in me. And I pray that you would just do the work that only you can do, Lord. It's out of my hands. And if it wasn't for anyone else, Lord, I know it was for me. So I pray that you'd bless the service. In the message that I preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's take a few moments to pray. And we'll close off the service.